You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Welcome back, one and all, to the Over Nerds Podcast. It is episode 55, and we got both the hosts here ready to play. It's Brock, and alongside me, it's Meridon.
Yo.
Meridon, good evening. Hello, how are you?
Pretty good. Pretty damn hyped after that first week. And also, we hit 1,000 listens all time.
Oh my god, that's awesome. We've done it.
We've done it. Small milestone, but a big one in a way.
Oh my goodness, that's so incredible. Thank you everybody for listening.
Yes, much appreciated.
But we have a full docket of things to talk about today. We were going to talk about last week's games, which were, depending on who you were a fan of, they were incredibly fun. We got a little bit of Overwatch news, not a lot, but noticeable, worth talking about. We got our picks for next week, for this upcoming week, which is a short week. Thanks to some scheduling issues among the old
coronavirus.
The classic flu-like nonsense getting us again. And then we got a little bit of overthoughts. Maybe not. I just checked the schedule again. We don't have overthoughts. That's okay. We might find something. Yeah, we'll find something on the way over there.
Yeah. Oh, I actually kind of have a semi-overthought, so maybe we'll bring that up.
Hell yeah. Now you have to stay to the end to figure out what that is.
I know.
Because not even I know.
Hey, you're committed. You're committed.
All right. Let's dive right into it. Meridon, what was your impression of week one? Because I have a lot to say, but you were not at the homestand. So you got the fun crunch time memes going.
Yeah, some pretty hard crunch time memes. Some Coca-Cola thrown in there. I thought the games were awesome. I thought the desk was good too. The problem was the production, and if you watched from home, you were graced with horrible cutaways and transitions. You were graced with matches interrupted by Cheez-Its crunch time moment graphic up there in the middle of a match, and there was a Coca-Cola one. Twitter was exploding. And it was called out by a lot of people. It was kind of disappointing, the production quality. I know that they're going to a newer format this year with the homestands and stuff, so I expected maybe some kinks here or there. But the production, even with the desk, was not good, which was kind of surprising. Other than that, it felt really good that Overwatch League was back. I thought all the games were really interesting because we got to see, you know, these newer look teams. We get to see what the heck the London Spitfire look like, because nobody knew what the London Spitfire were going to look like coming in. We got to see the Teabag heard around the world. We got to see an LA Valiant team that, in my opinion, just shocked the hell out of me. I'm sure stunned a bunch of other people in the way that they were performing. Overall, awesome weekend minus the production quality. They got to work on the production a little bit. It's definitely NA production.
Yeah, that was the biggest takeaway I got from at least Twitter while I was kind of running around New York. The biggest tweets I saw were like, what is this? Like, what am I watching? What are Cheez-Its grooves? And now why do I want to buy 8 boxes of them? Yeah. Oh, no, it's working.
Yeah. Blizzard's going to find your family if you don't buy Cheez-Its grooves.
That's the thing. No one.
Yeah. You better go get your Cheez-Its grooves fast, because Blizzard's gonna be knocking down your door.
They're coming. It's crunch time already.
It's crunch time.
Good lord. Yeah, I was kind of bummed that I didn't get to see a lot of that, because it seemed just like ripe for the picking for memes, and we got them very much so. We got them very quickly.
Yeah, so. You lucked out by being there, because like looking back at it now, it was funny, but at the moment, I'm just like, really? I'm like, come on, like. There was also one time, the one thing that pissed me off act like legitimately pissed me off was there was the King's Row map. I can't remember who it was. I believe it was it might have been NYXL Boston Uprising.
I think it was Gladiators and Vancouver.
Was it Gladiators where yeah. like the first like 45 seconds of the of King's Row was cut off and Vancouver, whoever the hell it was, just steamrolled the first point, but like we completely missed the fight. Just because of, you know, let's talk about Cheez-Its grooves or let's play the same Call of Duty advertisement over and over and over again.
Yeah, these are bumps and like hurdles or whatever, you know, mistakes that you think you make when you practice or whatever. Like, I don't know how often they do the run-throughs. I imagine it's a lot if they're pumping out so much money out of this thing, yeah. right? And you have so much time as well. And I get hiccups happen. Like, things happen during the production. Mm-hmm. But to have it continually happen kind of just sounds like they were asleep at the wheel a little bit.
Yeah, they definitely didn't really have their stuff together, or they were having technical issues, one of the two. Or both. But
I'm an optimist. We're going to go with technical difficulties because I like to pretend that it won't be like this forever. No. So chalk it up as just like, I don't know, we some reason it's just skipping. Computers are weird and we can't reset it, so what it is what it is.
Yeah, they had some problems the first week of Call of Duty League, too. I feel like the first week's always going to have some bumps just because you're going to have you know newer faces, you know, managing the equipment. You're going to have the staff that... You know, maybe they practice, but now they're live doing it. So there's a little bit more pressure. You're going to have some hiccups. We're going to have some hiccups probably near the end of the season, too. But it was pretty bad this weekend production-wise. Other than that, great, though, viewing from home. Also, other than the fact that we don't have any freaking tokens, but...
Unlucky.
That's down the road. We'll get them. They're coming. how was the in-person experience?
Absolutely incredible. So the New York homestand is where I went, and it was so cool. I loved the venue. The venue was really cool and interesting. The sides of the walls had big old XL banners across, like, the opera seating. I don't know if you know, those, like, I'm just calling them, like, the rich people perches.
Yeah.
Where you have the tiny little, what's it called, binoculars to mm-hmm. watch the play. So yeah. Those spots, you know, those were kind of wrapped into, like, XL Weekend. And the light show was great, rather like the graphics that were on the big board. Mm-hmm. Just so cool. Puckett did a great job of just owning it. And it seemed like he was having more fun with it because he was a little bit, I don't want to say... Unhinged is the wrong word. I think he was unleashed, where he had no, like, obviously no allegiance to Blizzard anymore because he's not under contract, but he was kind of just doing this freelance thing, and now he's like, I'm just going to have fun with it because we're here all day. I'm not going to try to, you know, like, act professionally the entire time. I mean, he was great. He was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like to me that he was just having fun with it more than he probably had on the desk. So... Mm-hmm. That was awesome to see. And then obviously, you know, the games were just incredible. The games were so great. The highlight of, honestly, like, of the New York homestand was, like, probably just watching the Eternal play, just because I had no idea what they were going to do.
Mm-hmm. Man, Exe, woo!
Exe was great. Huh. FD God just absolutely popped off the second day.
Yeah.
That was incredible. It seems lame of me to pick Paris, since New York just stomped both teams that they played.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different when it's expected of New York.
Yeah.
And I think they knew that too. So they doubled that down with incredible walkouts. Like, I'm sure people watching on stream saw them. I didn't get to see them because I was busy doing something else, unfortunately. Maybe with
Big Boss Pine.
Yeah, with Big Boss yeah. Pine. You know, the MVP chance with Jonak.
Yeah.
The day two, we saw SBB and Sabiob. He walked on stage. The crowd went nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think people maybe underestimated the amount of hype there was in New York for this homestand, because I feel like a lot of people were talking about this Dallas homestand, and they had an amazing time last year, right? So they were like, oh, well, that one's gonna be a bigger one, obviously, right? That's the one where most people want to be at.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was absolutely fun. It was just so great. The environment was just A plus.
That crowd was so loud, especially compared to like the Dallas one, just because Dallas looked like shit.
They were so mean. They were so mean. They said Boston sucks.
Yeah,
it was awful. No, the crowd was awesome. It was so great. Honestly, as a rival fan of New York, as a Boston fan, whenever you hear the Boston sucks chant, I always get more excited for the game. Mm-hmm. Because that means any next move that Boston does, and it's a positive in Boston's favor, you just freak out. Yeah. Now you're just like, New York side, and you go crazy. Mm-hmm. Like on the flip side, and then when you eventually get stomped because you're Boston against New York in Overwatch, they again tell you to like sit down and like, stuff like that. And then that's like the fun sports banter that you get mm-hmm. with these homestands. So I loved it. I don't know if I can say higher praise. I'm just so excited that this is the way Overwatch is moved into, because this is going to be like the fan engagement that you need and you want. And it's just so fun and just awesome to be at.
And thinking where, you know, the NYXL have made it, like they haven't had a homestand in New York. They did have, you know, the grand finals in New York stage one, but this is the first time that a home New York, you know, a home game for the New York Excelsior. So, you know, the hype's going to be real. They had that stacked roster, like you were saying, Jonak, Sabiolbi, like these big names that like to choke, are being seen live for the first time. So, you know, this is the first time they're seeing their boys at home, and I'm sure that hype was freaking real for them.
Yeah, and then last thing I'll say about the New York homestand, if you didn't know already, Hoppa's personality is just gigantic.
Yeah.
He is such a funny dude, and, like, he owned the spotlight so much. He fits perfectly in New York.
Hoppa's awesome. I understand why the Fusion dropped him the first season. He was awesome. I like him. He had some crazy diva bombs. He was like getting like at least 2 kills per diva bomb. Like he was playing out of his mind.
Yeah, he had a hell of a weekend. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
And then I was gonna say the Dallas games. Those were just, I feel like those may have just been like just better Overwatch games in general. Like if you just look at Overwatch as the actual esport. The matches between the Gladiators and the Vancouver Titans, one for the books, honestly, already. Like a nail biter all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Valiant Vancouver game later on, also very good.
Yeah, yeah. It was really nice to see the Valiant. I mean, the Valiant looked really good.
KSP looks
Oh my
God. Unreal. That guy looks like he's cheating the whole time.
Yes.
And honestly, sometimes you might even think that until you just watch every single VOD he's ever in.
Oh.
Like if you go back and watch the UK games from this past year's World Cup, you didn't get to play a lot of Hitscan, but when he did pop on Widow, like,
disgusting.
So dumb. It's just unfair.
And the man with the greatest eyebrow game in Overwatch, Gig. Man, he looked really good, too. And this is one of those teams where you're just like, cool, so who are most of these players? And then they came out and just crapped on the Dallas Fuel. And then gave the Vancouver Titans a run for their money. And this is a team that most people had 19 or 20 in their power rankings.
Yeah, and even though the match ended up going 3-0 Vancouver's way, that was a hard fought.
Oh, that was.
3-0. That was a hacksaw needed to get Blade to win the fights. Like that, mm-hmm. Otherwise, that just wasn't happening.
Yeah.
Honestly, overall, huge day for rookies, or huge weekend, rather, for rookies, mm-hmm. because the league, at least in my mind, is a lot younger than I thought it was originally, because mm-hmm. I saw these rosters. You know, with the exception of London, who we all knew was literally nobody we knew, with the exception of Krillin and Hylie. Like, rather, I shouldn't say people we knew, because we knew J-Mac, Bernard, and Glister.
Yeah.
But people that have been in the Overwatch League before.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and we only saw Hylie. We didn't even see Krillin.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you see Beast. He was shaken to start. Mm-hmm. Came to his own at the end there. Eggsy, like you said, did great. Gig kind of tried to throw. Gig did this weird bumper thing where he's like hyper aggressive, but it just worked out because McGravy is also hyper aggressive.
Oh gosh, yeah, McGravy, yeah.
Yeah, that's Yeah, McGravy actually getting like an like a legitimate start now. That's not on the Florida Mayhem.
Yeah, yeah. And he looked great.
Yeah, we saw Mirror and Jaru play. Like Fisher, not a rookie, but he just didn't even miss a step. So there, like last row did great as well. The whole, the just like docket of people that were new this weekend, I think they all performed pretty well. I don't want to say Doha is an exception because he did fine. It's just that Dallas front line is a little bit of a mess. Mm-hmm. So Decay and Doha kind of didn't really have a lot of work with, but Decay still popped off anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's just like the new guard coming in. Only good things up going from here.
No, definitely. I agree there. It was definitely some exciting Overwatch, and I think that goes beyond like just the excitement of it being back. I mean, Twitter was just on fire. The clips just kept coming in of the Valiant, just like kind of just coming out of nowhere. It was great. So, how about them picks?
Mine were bad. Yeah. Talk about the other day.
Yeah.
But don't worry, because do you want to go over last week's pick?
Yeah, sure. Sure, I'll go over this. So the very first match, Defiant, Paris. Who did you have for that? Did you have Paris for that?
I thought I had Toronto.
Okay.
I'm gonna say I had Toronto.
Okay.
Got him.
Toronto looked pretty good. If I remember correctly, they looked really bad on Lijiang Tower to start. And I'm just like, ooh, okay, this is probably going to be a fun match for them. And then they picked it up. It was nice to see Sure4. That was pretty cool. They look decent. I don't think they hang with any of the top teams, but they definitely looked better than I expected. Against a Paris team with, you know, XZ that just kind of came out of the woodwork, and to think that team's going to get Sparkle when he comes of age, like, holy crap, they're probably going to be pretty decent. Maybe this year they won't let me down.
I have high hope for this Paris team. Mm-hmm. I actually like both of these teams a lot, mm-hmm. and it sounds like a dumb thing to say when they're both ranked pretty low on my power rankings to mm-hmm. start the season. But the Toronto team looked a lot better than I thought they would. And maybe that's because Paris is a little bit of a weaker team. But when it was Agilities and Logics, they seemed very out of sorts, which made me think that once Sure4 came in, mm-hmm. He would immediately either said something or he took over shot calling because they looked like a different team.
Mm-hmm.
And Beast and Nevix had a little bit of a rough start, mm-hmm. at least more so Beast. And there was a point in the match halfway through Control Center, Lijiang Tower, where Beast hit this three-man shatter. And I think that's kind of where it turned around and he kind of became way more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then the game was over because Paris just couldn't keep up.
Mm-hmm.
So I like this team a lot. I also like the Paris Eternal. I think they're going to do fine. They're just going to be so good. Like, I can't stress this enough how good they're going to be when Hanbin and Sparkle come in.
Oh my God.
Because the core of Eggsy, Sparkle, and Hanbin is just going to be off the charts good.
Mm-hmm. And I also, I guess this isn't much of a surprise, but Logic's also popped off on Widow.
Yeah, Logic had a pretty good game at the Havana map.
Yeah.
He was able to play his actual hero and hit him with a good old thank, Mr. Logic.
Yeah, oh yeah. So the next map was the NYXL versus the London Spitfire, the Unknowns versus the Powerhouse. New York took that 3-1, no big surprise there.
I mean, the big surprise was London taking that first map. That was a yes. huge surprise. And they took it in fashion. They took it in a 2-0, like, what's up, just sucker punch to the face of the home team.
Yeah.
And then they just, like, found out that the home team's really big and scary and tough.
Mm-hmm.
And decided to go back into their corner and just, like, do nothing and die.
Yeah, yeah. I really liked Bernard and Glister. I thought they looked really good. It was interesting to see that team on stage because, you know, like we've just said, like they're just kind of a group of like a ragtag group of contenders players and stuff like that. So you're kind of like everyone went into that game not knowing what to expect. And yeah, they like went right for the throat to the NYXL. I'm just like, oh no, the NYXL can't choke like this when they're at home. They didn't, of course, but
yeah, they had definitely a moment in their comms where just like, guys, relax. It's London.
Yeah.
We don't know who these people we're playing against are.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just turned it around.
Yeah.
So I was very impressed. Very impressed from Babel. Babel. I'm gonna go with Babel.
Yes.
Most guys didn't think he was gonna play. Honestly, mm-hmm. I thought it was gonna be Glister and Shui. Mm-hmm. But Babel came in and did fine. He did pretty all right, considering it's an Owl level match against top tier DPS players. So. Yeah.
It's a hell of a way to start your season. The next game was the next game we went actually over to Dallas, and that was the Gladiators Titans game. And that was like a slugfest.
This is definitely a postseason preview.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very high on the Gladiators. I was in all the power rankings earlier this season. I think this team is great.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think this team is as low as some people think. Maybe I got a little lucky since Birdring came to play today. But when he plays at this level like he did this game, the Gladiators have zero things to worry about. And I'm even more surprised that they played LHL Cloudy.
They did.
Over OG for a lot of the maps. And I think that's just a Ryan thing. I don't think OG... Either OG doesn't like playing Ryan, or they just love Cloudy on Ryan. And that's very surprising to me.
I feel like OG is another one of those players kind of like Sato, where he excels more on Winston than he does on a character like Reinhardt.
Yeah, I guess so. And then they're like, yeah, Cloudy, get in there. And another thing was Jaru getting the start over Mirror. And Mirror only played, I think, about a map.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm very surprised about. I thought because they grabbed Mirror so much earlier than Jaru, and to me that meant they had so much more faith in Mirror. But what the scrim said was Jaru was playing better on these maps with these characters than Mirror was.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind going forward. Whenever you do like look at this team specifically, is watch for what the Glads want to do with those two DPS, because Bird Ring's not coming out, no doubt about it.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
those two, who knows?
Yeah, they'll probably go back and forth with them depending on the situation. The next game is when we got to see the hometown Dallas Fuel get rocked by the Valiant 3-1.
Get absolutely dominated.
The Fuel look bad.
Decay looks very good.
Yes.
The Fuel look bad.
Yes.
But according to High Noon, though, highnoon.gg, Crimzo was the MVP of Fantasy this week.
Okay.
So that means two things. One, the teammates are getting hurt a lot, so need a lot of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And two, people aren't dying, so when he's playing Ana, he has to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also a big uh-oh for the Dallas Fuel.
Yeah. I was really keeping my fingers crossed that they would do well, just because, you know, we're going into season 3 and it's still like we don't really know what to expect. It's like the first two seasons, everyone's like, oh, this is Team Envious. They're just, you know, I think I remember my power rankings the very first week of the Overnerds or preseason rankings. I'm pretty sure I had Dallas Fuel at least in the top 5. Just because it's like, oh, it's Envious. They're just, you know, they're just going to plow everybody.
Yeah, it's Envious plus XQC, right? So what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
Oh, everything.
Everything.
Everything is the worst that could happen.
And then on top of the fact that Dallas really wasn't playing well, you know, minus Decay and Crimzo, the Valiant, like we were just talking about, with Gig and McGravy and KSP, just were lights out. They looked freaking fantastic.
If you can find the VOD, I was watching Dogman go over this game,
mm-hmm.
and he pointed out the synergy between McGravy and Rain. If you don't know, Rain is their main support player.
Used to play on the man.
Correct. They they made the call to go, where is Decay? Kill him. And you'll see them just yeet themselves across the map. Speed boost and boosters. And just find Decay on Widow or McCree and just kill him. And it's just ruthless hunting down. And what that says about the Valiant is that they have incredible synergy already, because that means the rest of the Valiant team aren't pushing, or they're not doing anything too dangerous where they're losing 5v4s. But it also means the Fuel aren't talking, because they're not realizing that they're down a guy. Like, they're up a guy. They're not pushing in on these 5v4s. So it's incredibly strange, and it's super funny to watch, since it's just this poor Widow not being able to actually escape anything, or this poor McCree not being able to, like, use both flashbang and roll to, like, escape. He's just dead. So this Valiant team, if there's anything that we can say about them, it's they are highly synergistic, highly aggressive, and that will net them a lot of wins going forward.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah. I'm excited to see what more they have, you know, in the tank, because yeah, they looked fantastic. Starting off Sunday was the Spitfire versus the Paris Eternal. Paris Eternal, if I remember correctly, were, like, lights out in this match.
The Eternal were very, very good. Yeah. And in one of the post match conferences that the teams had, so I asked the London team. It was they had Sanguinar and Fuse answering questions, and I had asked them, like, "Hey, at halftime, FD God is, like, the actual carry of this Paris team. How do you guys play around that? Because you prep for, you know, obviously the DPS to carry you, right? You prep for the Widow or the McCree or the Mei, but how do you in game adjust to the Lucio?
Yeah."
And they didn't give any strats away. Luckily, they weren't like, oh, well, actually, we have to do this, that, and the other thing. They're like, look, we don't really focus on one player. We can't just focus on just the Lucio, because we're an Overwatch team. But, yeah, we just, like, we didn't think of him. And, we couldn't just focus all our resources on him. And I think that's kind of what FD God just tried to utilize the most he could have. And it was just terrifyingly good results.
Yeah, I'm really liking this Paris Eternal team. I'm super excited what they bring. I like to see if this London Spitfire team, you know, kind of picks it up more and more as the season goes on. Like, they didn't look horrid, but they definitely weren't great.
Right, and I think Custa said this about the Valiant, and I'm gonna say it about the London Spitfire, where the bones are there. Right, the base is there between Glister, Bernard, and J-Mac. They just have to find what works for them. And I think they're going to end up being really good in a Rein D.Va meta. They did play a lot of D.Va. They did play a lot of Rein. But they played a lot of Reaper. And I think that wasn't really working for them as much as they wanted it to, because the opposing D.Va would just stop the Reaper from ulting or doing or whatever.
Yeah.
So we'll see what they decide with going forward. But they're still very much on my radar of a team that can absolutely sneak into the top 10.
And the last game, your boys, Boston Uprising versus the NYXL.
If I was talking a lot a minute ago, I'll definitely talk a lot now.
Yeah, the teabag heard around the world. NYXL took it 3-0.
Chex is an absolute animal, and I love him so much. The Boston team in general looked fine. I think if they played a team not named the New York Excelsior, they win. However, obviously, they're not going to beat San Francisco, they're not going to beat Vancouver. I don't think they beat Gladiators. But if they play a team that is middling or worse, I think they win this game. The biggest issue was the lack of initiation after a pick. They were so scared, and I vividly remember watching them on a Temple Anubis attack Color Hex gets two kills. Or maybe it's Color Hex and maybe Munchkin gets a second kill. Boston is up two kills, and they just dick around choke point. Mm-hmm. They dick around by the bridge and don't push anywhere. And the main issue there is that there's no shot calling, or at least maybe improper shot calling. And from what I gathered was Axiom was shot calling this game.
Okay.
At least for most parts. Mm-hmm. So maybe something wasn't properly communicated, where it's like, hey, we're up, push, or they were scared about something of like, hey, we're up, but we can lose this still, like the idea that there's the wrong type of picks. But I don't know, I don't buy into that as much. I think it was a little bit of on stage nerves or just worried about making a mistake that kind of held them back.
Am I tripping balls, or like Fusion was pretty much like playing a bit of like the off tank role in this tank duo?
Fusions was playing Orisa.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Boston played double shield and then dive.
Okay.
They played ball monkey dive.
Yeah. Okay.
And they looked so clean on the first initial map with dive. On Oasis, they played Monkey Ball, Sombra, Genji? Tracer,
okay.
And then Moira and Lucio. Mm-hmm. And they looked good. And Myungbun guy actually got the first two eliminations for Boston. Mm-hmm. First double kill of the season for the rookie support. And then they just stopped. And then they swapped over to the double shield Mei Reaper or Mei McCree. And they couldn't ever find their footing for the next three maps. So there's a lot going on here with that Boston team, but the skill is there because we can definitely see it, because you'll see Color Hex pop off on Blizzard World and you're like, that's good. I want more of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see Color Hex lose the 2v1 against two supports on Anubis. And then you see poor Swimmer trying to take the 1v1 against Jonak and lose.
Yeah. You don't 1v1 a Jonak.
Man, I will always tell Swimmer to go for that 1v1. Yeah. Because it the high risk high reward was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But just didn't pan out this time around.
And you brought up dive, and that's another thing to bring up, just the Overwatch League games this weekend in general. There's a lot of diversity in hero picks.
Yo,
like even like the first game, like the Paris Eternal, they were rocking Symmetra, like
Exe Symmetra was on fire. Yeah. It was so good.
Yeah. It just reminded me of it. Yeah, they ran Dive Monkey Ball. I'm like, you know what? That's right. There was a crap ton of hero diversity. That's another thing that made this weekend pretty awesome. It wasn't just like, you know, how it started last year. Now it can't happen, but like with the Rollock, but goats. And it was goats v. goats. And then goats v. goats again. And then goats v. goats again. And then the hunters came and made it interesting. And then the next teams would be goats v. goats. And it would just be so damn boring because it's the same comp every single time. I mean, there was a May pretty much almost every game, except for those ones where people would run dive. But there was that other DPS that would always at least switch. Symmetra, Reaper, Widowmaker, stuff like that. It was nice to see.
Yeah, the typical Hitscan player had a lot of options this weekend.
McCree.
Which bodes well for the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like what you said, with almost everyone picked Mei.
Yeah.
It was almost always perma picked Lucio Mei.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's fine. Like, I think if you're going to pick the top three heroes that people picked, it was D.Va, Lucio, Mei.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, so many teams opted for the double shield. Gladiators wanted double shield for a little bit. Dallas did double shield. Dallas even played Ryan Zarya.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a fucking platinum game.
I'm pretty sure, Gladiators ran Sigma on King's Row?
They might have. Yeah. I know for a fact Paris did. I know Ben Best ran Sigma.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
And then Nosmite played Ryan, and you're like, what is going on here? And it worked! They won the map! And that's, like you said, it is so exciting to get all the comps back.
Mm-hmm.
All the different heroes back. And I think it was someone saying the only heroes they didn't really play were, like, Bastion and Roadhog.
Yeah.
That's insane! Like, I think, or like, obviously Torbjorn was not played, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the sheer diversity of all the character picks is very, very, very positive and very, like, exciting looking forward.
Definitely, definitely. It definitely was a positive about that weekend. So after the New York homestand was over, we went back to wrap up the Dallas homestand with a 3-0 Titans win over the Valiant. But like we were saying, that was a hard-fought match.
Yes, and it showed you the large difference it is to play with the team you've been playing with for the past 4 years, 3 years, however long Runaway has been together now at this point.
A while.
Versus a team of relatively new guys, but everyone in this game, all 12 players at the time, are extremely talented.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed you that just that little bit of, you know, extra bit makes the difference, right? And the Runaway squad / Fisher took the day because of, you know, the small things that pile up. And that's why you see Valiant not take a map, right? Like, other than Hacksaw being just absolutely nutty at Genji, but...
Yeah, that was a great map. I feel bad for the Valiant there. They lost. They got swept. But, I mean, it was fun to watch. It was a lot of fun to watch. It wasn't an easy map for... it wasn't an easy match for the Titans to win. And then we got to see them, the defending champions, San Francisco Shock, up against the Dallas Fuel. Dallas took a map from them.
They did. Yeah. They took a convincing map from them.
Yeah.
They full held them.
Yeah.
Thanks to a junk rat.
Yeah.
What?
What the hell?
Hello?
Yeah.
No, I believe it was Doha and Junkrat, and
he
was on fire. He was playing like a Jake rat, honestly. He was just playing very good, like, solid Junkrat play, which is a weird sentence to say, because typically that doesn't really happen. But he was just fine. Like, he did so well positioning. He was exactly where he needed to be. Prevented a lot of the choke point, like, pushes that San Francisco could have had, and took the map. And that was the pretty much only shining spot. That map itself was, like, the only highlight for the Fuel, other than just Decay playing the game. Because Decay is just, like, at this point, the sole hope for this team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they and the Shock, other than like that full hold, they looked like the Shock. Yeah, you got Sinatra, Super, Choi Hoban. They looked.
They're all star flex support architect.
yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'm upset because I had Violet on my fantasy team, and now they're just sitting there getting the good old goose egg.
Just goofing y'all up.
Yeah, it's all right. We move on.
We move on to the Battle of Brotherly Love. I'm going to be there at the Met in Philly this weekend. You want to bring us in on this?
I would love adventure? To, because this weekend had many more games.
Yeah.
Until we had to shut down all the matches due to the coronavirus. So there's a little, I won't call it rumor, because there's like whispers of the games just being rescheduled. So they're not canceled and they're not being played online, but they're just going to be rescheduled to later. Yeah. I don't know how accurate that will be, but it is good. They are trying so very hard to get these games live for people to watch, because A, the Chinese markets are gigantic and people want to watch their team play Overwatch, and I don't blame anybody. And B, other people want to watch too. And so... they are working on it, but the fact of the matter is the sheer logistics of changing all of these people from, you know, the say like the Guangzhou homestand, like getting all of the resources over to somewhere like Seoul or something to do their homestand is insane. Mm-hmm. Because not everybody is able to get a visa. You can't always travel. Then
you have all the fans that bought tickets.
That, oh, dude, I don't want to be in that position.
Yeah. And I think that's CEO what's complicated. Company. Like, they probably could talk to, like, a arena and get some sort of event up and running. I'm sure there's a lot of moving parts with it, but It would. I think the main thing is to tell all of the people, you know, hey, all those tickets you bought, well, you're not going, and they would have to reimburse them. They would have to refund them for the tickets.
I believe Shanghai already did, okay. Or maybe it was Hangzhou.
Okay,
but they are very much reimbursing people's money, because who are you as a new league, a third year league, to buy tickets and say, well. Sorry.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Oops.
But anywho, we'll focus on the games that are indeed actually being played, and we start this weekend off with a barn burner.
The old barn burner.
The Mayhem versus the Houston Outlaws. If you didn't see the video, go check it out on Twitter. It was probably the oddest feeling I've ever had in my life.
This weekend's going to be...
This one's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
So the reason why I like this game a lot is because Florida Mayhem have a lot of exciting rookies that I cannot wait to see.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot wait to see Yaki play, and I really want to see Gangnam Jin play.
Mm-hmm.
Those two guys in particular I think are going to do excellent this year. I think they're very talented. I do not believe in the tank line at all, because I don't know who's playing main tank. I don't know if it's going to be Fate or Karrion, or maybe it's going to be both at this point, because we're playing a lot of double shield. And I don't know what Gargoyle is going to play, because he can't play Roadhog. So, who knows?
Yeah. So many, there's a lot of questions with that team.
But then, a team with a lot of questions,
The
Houston Outlaws are another one. So, obviously, their front line is going to be Muma and Mecco, because you don't sign Mecco for $1 billion and not play him. But then you have 8 DPS characters. I don't know who's going to start. It's probably going to be... I would put a lot of money on something like a Lynx or Blase starting DPS line. Mostly for Lynx to be able to swap over to McCree.
Mm-hmm.
And then Blase plays whatever flex named May that they need. And then it's going to be...
Whatever their name is, May.
And then, so you get Rappel and Jaxay on the back line, and that's fine. So the main two are pretty much settled.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got, like, Hydration, who plays a lot of main tank.
Yeah.
And so are they going to go double shield as well? They're going to go, like, Ryan Orisa, and then Hydration on Orisa?
Mm-hmm.
So who really knows about this team?
Or are they going to go with, are they going to go with Muma? I don't know.
Who knows?
And they probably won't go with Spree, because Spree is an off tank. He's like a Zarya specialist.
Spree is not playing.
Yeah.
There is no way.
Yeah.
He looked fine during GOATS, but fine doesn't really cut it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. So they have Mecco. Mecco and Muma are their like kind of dedicated tanks, but like you said, like Hydration can jump in there too. And get the job done. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I don't even. This whole roster is just a big old question mark to me.
It really is.
And it's akin to the London roster,
mm-hmm.
not for the same reasons, but they're both just big old question marks. Like, who's actually gonna play?
Mm-hmm. I found out today that Hydration tweeted on Twitter that he just found out that Philadelphia was located in Pennsylvania. I was a little offended.
Yikes.
Someone said, where did you think it was before? And he said, I don't know. I never thought about it. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Hell yeah.
Well, you're going to find out.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Who do you have winning that one?
I have the Mayhem winning this one.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
Surely because I just like the rookies better.
Mm-hmm.
I like the players that I think Mayhem will put as starters more than I do the ones that Houston's going to put as starters.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm feeling the Florida Mayhem as well, just because I don't have much confidence in the Houston Outlaws, really, and the Florida Mayhem have a lot to prove because they just went through their rebranding. They've been kind of, fighting for relevancy in this league. I think... this year might be the time where, they kind of climb out of the depths and at least middle of the pack, in my opinion. I had them, I think, ranked at 12th last week in my power rankings. So I think they're going to win that one.
Yeah, if there's a year, it's probably going to be this one.
Mm-hmm.
To finally break that bad streak. Yeah. I was going to say bad luck streak, but that's not really true. It's just their playing poorly streak. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Break out of the bottom tier time. That's what I'm going to say. This is their time to break out of that basement tier. Mm-hmm. And then after that game, we're going to get the Justice versus the Fusion. Yeah. The hometown fellas getting the primetime game. I personally have the Fusion because I don't know how you can bet against them.
I have the Fusion as well, I think people are going to underestimate how decent the Justice are. I feel like the Justice are one of those teams that's like a sleeper team. I really, really loved the Justice at the end of last season in stage four. They were like 6-1. They looked great. In my preview post on the Game House, I put the Fusion winning this, but I got them winning it 3-2. Kind of curious if they're going to play Poco over Fury. A lot of people are thinking Fury. I'm honestly kind of leaning towards Poco. They have 69 DPS players. They're probably going to play Carpe, but then who else are they going to throw there? We're probably not going to see Chipsa. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of questions with their line because they're just so DPS heavy. They have Carpe, EQO, Ivy, and Chipsa. And then they have Hisu, but he's underage. But so technically they have five players. Four of them are active on their team that can play DPS. And unfortunately for all of the Fusion fans, and we hope that this changes, but Sato is still our main tank, and he is king of the feed. So I don't know.
So something I will say about this roster is that they have come so close to accidentally becoming full Korean.
Yeah.
So you got Sato Fury, Carpe Ivy, Alarm, and then Funny Astro just hanging out in the back trying to learn Korean or something because they're not gonna play Boombox obviously because Alarm is just too good.
Yeah.
I think the DPS line is more settled than we might think. It's absolutely gonna be Carpe on the hit scan, and then I think it's probably gonna be
EQL?
Ivy?
Okay.
Mostly because I don't like my gut says they're probably not gonna play EQO, even though EQO is very talented. Mm-hmm. I think Carpe because he drives this team. Whatever Carpe says is law.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so I kind of think he's just going to be like, nah, I just want to play with Ivy and pop off. But I think they're going to swap.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be our mirror Jaru of the season, like of this match anyway. Like we're going to see EQO play May or something. Mm-hmm. Ivy play some other weird flex or like some other like projectile hero. Maybe he plays Pharah.
Do you think that they'll play Fury over Poco?
I do.
You do? Okay.
Mostly because I think Fury's just better.
Mm-hmm.
I think Fury does a lot. And especially if they're going to play D.Va. While Poco is incredibly talented and I don't want to put anything past Poco, Fury honestly has undoubtedly been one of the best D.Vas the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. So it would be a big old question mark to bench him.
Yeah.
But it'll be a bigger question mark if they don't play D.Va. It'll be a big, like, I think it'll be more surprising if they go double shield than it would be for, like, Poco or Poco playing over Fury, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh. Sorry. Ended up taking too big of a sip there.
Almost died.
I'm currently dead. Going over to Sunday.
You the Heineken maneuver?
Dora, my dog's right here. She's got me. She got my back. Okay. Yeah. So we got the Justice versus the Houston Outlaws. Mm-hmm. I picked the Justice. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm right. Really? I think Houston ends up being kind of like the Paris Eternal of last weekend, mm-hmm. where they struggle the first day just to kind of like get things going, mm-hmm. whether it's just a flow thing or just a comfortability thing. But I can definitely see this team turning things around on the second day in order to beat this Justice team that's only seven guys, right? That they have only a single sub in Tuba right now because Lulcich is not in the league currently.
Yeah.
Because he's in Visa Hell.
Yeah, so it's just going to be Roar and Elevote, which I'm pretty sure both of them are. See, Roar is what? Winston Reinhardt, according to Liquipedia. So I mean,
Elevote, the D.Va one trick.
Okay, so they have a tank line, but they don't have the tank line they wanted with Lulzish, with the stupid visa issues, which is ridiculous. But yeah, I have the Washington Justice here, even though their tanks are kind of questionable. Hopefully, you know, hopefully Roar can kind of fill into that spot that Lulzish was, you know, trying to come in with. I really love Corey and Stratus. I feel like they're gonna pop off, and I think one of my keys to the Fusion winning were to kind of put pressure on them, because their tank line is kind of broken right now, and you have to take advantage of that and kind of get rid of the get rid of like their strongest, you know, their strongest pieces on the field.
Right, get rid of their actual carry potential. Mm-hmm. And the game becomes really easy.
Yeah.
I will say about the Justice is that I do like their support line a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If Aim God... I feel like Aim God is just a support version of Bird Ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where the talent is there. It's just whether or not he actually wants to use it that time. Mm-hmm. Or like that day of the week. So, if Aim God is very much invested into this team, then I see a lot of good things from Ark and Aim God. I do think that that support line is very strong. But, yeah, if there's no tank line, then
yeah,
it's going to be really hard for Corey and Aim God to carry this team.
Yeah, yeah. When I saw that Lulzish wasn't going to make it, I'm just like, this is not the greatest news for them.
My imagination would tell me that they were scrimming with Roar and Elevote.
Yeah, yeah. They probably didn't want to like panic or anything, and they probably wanted to
because it's so dumb for them to be like, oh well, no, we'll continue our scrims with Lulzish. Just assume everything's gonna magically like that seems short sighted to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they'll end up being okay, and okay might be enough to beat the Outlaws right
mm-hmm.
now.
Yeah,
and then I could obviously just be wrong, and Outlaws just like kick ass. Like, oh, all right, sounds good.
Yeah.
We know nothing. And the last match is that Fusion team versus that Florida Man team.
Florida Man. They bring Florida and, Man out, man.
I mean, they kind of did with Swoosh last year.
Yeah, I love Swoosh. Hanging out,
just holding that palm tree. You're like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
But I have Philly winning this one.
Yeah.
Because they are very talented, and I think their veterancy is better than the rookie class that Florida has. I think the experience of Philly of playing multiple seasons now at this point with pretty much the same roster, with the exception of the support line, is going to be the difference maker in this match.
Yeah, I have Philly winning this as well. Another one of my keys were just the fact that the DPS just need to pop off because the Fusion DPS are just, in my opinion, better than what the Mayhem have right now, or at least, you know, what they look like on paper. They're just kind of like a better team on paper. The only big giant concern of me with the Philadelphia Fusion is like it is Sato, period. If in the off season the Philadelphia Fusion are like, yep, they picked up Tizzy or even Bumper, he's a little unhinged, but if we just didn't have Sato or Sato was on the bench, my level of expectation for the Fusion would be extremely high. But in typical Philly sports fashion, they have to do some parts right and they have to fail at others because that's just what Philly teams do. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope the whole offseason that Sato was kicking ass on Reinhardt and learning how to actually play that character instead of having some scuffed one and just get, you know, trampled over by pretty much by most teams.
Look, I love saying this because it's one of the more, like, propagated statements from the league and, like, other people that, like, essentially just look at Twitter, is that everyone in the league loves Sato.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of the upper management of multiple teams love Sato. Mm-hmm. They like him a lot as a player. Mm-hmm. They were looking for trades. Philly just said, no, we're keeping him because he's our guy. Mm-hmm. So, to that point, I think he's going to make a big step this year.
Yeah.
And I'm going to join Sideshow on this Sato apologist bandwagon where I think Sato ends up making a huge step as a Reinhardt, as a non-Winston player.
Yeah.
I actually do think this team now around him is aggressive enough and talented enough to make his strange plays end up working.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be very surprised if we see the same feeding Sato and we don't get something very beneficial to that team. Like, something very, like, proactively making everyone better.
Yeah. Yeah, if Sato plays well, this team is extremely dangerous. If he goes back to, you know, season two form, the Fusion are going to be in trouble, but not as bad because they have a pretty strong team behind them.
Right.
But if he feeds like last year, there's no way that they're going to make the finals because you have to kind of have a cohesive team.
Yeah, if he's just inting, then there's nothing you can do about
it. The team might be able to pick him up sometimes, but there's going to be a point where the back breaks and, you know, the cards will crumble.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm really excited for this. I'm going to be attending it. Unfortunately, didn't get a press pass this week, but that's okay. We got two more home stands to go, so hopefully I'll be able to obtain one there to be able to interview some players. But I'm super excited to be there. I actually bought my tickets like maybe 2 weeks ago. Fusion are one of the teams that are struggling to sell tickets.
Interesting. Yeah.
The ticket buying process was pretty horrendous too. Thanks, Ticketmaster and Live Nation. I'm excited. Probably touch base with probably at least Jessica, my Fusion writing co-partner over at the Game House. But I know that there's a few others going, so maybe we'll connect with them as well. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, a little bit of a party there.
Yeah. One thing in Overwatch League news that happened, I believe it was yesterday, Otto was signed to the Spark.
Yes. Yeah. What does that mean for the League? Nothing. Because I doubt Otto actually ends up getting played.
Yeah. He's a good bench player. He's a good guy to have in their back pocket.
With that said, I know some people call Adora a Brig one trick. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to continue to be true. I think this Spark team is going to be fine. I think Otto, it might just be there for a veteran presence on the bench. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of more of like a leader and a mentor.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Honestly, I have zero grasp of this Hangzhou team and what they're going to do and kind of what their thought process is.
Yeah.
So they could do, they could be like, yep, he's our new flex support. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, this is a whelmed signing. It happened. And we all have to, as analysts, kind of wait and see.
Yeah, this Spark team is probably going to screw me over again this year because they were just so weird last year. Like, I never, them and the Charge were the two teams that I just were always like, where the hell do I put these guys in the power rankings? They were so hard to judge. They were a team that, like, I personally didn't watch a lot of, so I should probably, you know, continue to watch more of them this year to kind of understand them. But they weren't, like, those teams that were making huge splashes, like the top three last year, you know,
right.
Shock, NYXL, Titans. And they weren't, like, bottom feeders last year, like, you know, Toronto, Boston, and, like, Mayhem. They were kind of in that weird gray area, but they were, like, top tier of the gray area. So I don't know. Hopefully, you know, this helps their team with the signing of Otto. But yeah, I can't really foresee him playing too much. I mean, they have Adora and Godsby there. Godsby's definitely playing. There's no way Godsby
is not getting benched.
Yeah. That
so
yeah, should be interesting.
Time will tell, and that's kind of all we can say about the signing.
Yeah. Too bad we don't have any of these homestands going on. We were supposed to have the Shanghai homestand.
I know.
So we were going to see some of these teams finally. I was going to look it up, but Overwatch League finally... what I want to say? Finally cleaned up their website and only put the Fusion Brotherly Love schedule up there. They took the Shanghai Dragons one. Words, I can't even think. They took the Shanghai Dragons schedule down. So I don't recall off the top of my head who was supposed to play then, but we were going to get a look at some of the Chinese teams. I'm pretty sure the Chinese teams in Seoul were going to play. But we're going to have to wait.
No, I don't want to wait. No.
Oh, right here. I'm actually looking at it right now. Shanghai.
I'm impatient.
Shanghai Hunters, the Seoul Dynasty we're going to be playing as well. And then let's see, Dynasty, we're going to be playing the Spark. Yeah, so it was all the Chinese teams minus the Charge we're going to be playing this weekend.
Dang.
So, yeah.
I know. And there's still teams I haven't even played yet that are on the East Coast. So, like, Atlanta hasn't played yet.
Yeah, I think Atlanta plays in... Is it another 2 weeks, I think?
Another 2 weeks? Are you kidding
me? I think so. Let me see. I'm looking right now. Yeah. So, they don't start until February 29th. I remember looking at the schedule when it was announced, and I was just like, okay, so who gets screwed over? And I saw the Atlanta Reign there. I'm just like... Well, good thing I'm not a huge fan of the Atlanta Reign. Holy crap.
That is truly a bro moment. Do they not have any of the Pacific East games? Or Pacific West, I think? Pacific West? No, that's Pacific East.
Yeah.
Games till March.
Against the Dynasty.
It's legitimately... So that's what I heard as well, is that March 7th is when those teams actually get to play. Because mm-hmm. that's kind of when they got the okay to... have people in crowded areas.
Yeah.
That's insane. And even so dumb.
Even that March date in Seoul, they don't have the Shanghai Dragons. So the Shanghai Dragons, according to the... Holy crap. I'm just looking through the regular season right now. the Shanghai Dragons are not playing... until Overwatch April 12th. This year.
Oh my god.
Something's got to give not, here.
Yeah, they are definitely playing before then. Whether we get to see it live or not is the real question.
Yeah, that's a long time.
And because that's 10 weeks into the season. Yeah. You cannot go almost halfway through the season without a game. Yeah. Like, that is... unforgivable. Yeah. It does suck that they were gonna play this week, but then, like, I guess the act of God got it out of the way. Like, that's just so unlucky.
Yeah.
Because that's the only word you can say for it now. It's just fucking unlucky.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm trying to keep it a family podcast, but when you get too hyped about stuff like that, it's like, man, come on.
Yeah, yeah. It must be infuriating for the Dragons fans, because, they get to deal with it.
It's unreal.
All right, I think that's gonna do. Oh no, overthoughts. The Brigitte skin.
What are your overthoughts?
The Brigitte goat skin was up since last week. I think it's coming down soon-ish. It costs 200 Overwatch League tokens. We didn't touch on that last time, so that's why I wanted to touch on that.
Oh, okay.
Beautiful skin. It's $10. Kind of sucks that we don't have League tokens yet. Supposedly, they are working on it.
They said lying to us.
Yeah, it was during that press conference with that VP of esports or whatever that actually lit some fire under the rear of some of the talent when he said that they try to get specific kinds of talent for the desk and everything. And that kind of contradicted what some of Semler's views. He tore the VP a new rear. Also, you had Doa, Monty, they chimed in as well, and Malik. But during that charged interview, he was saying, well, you know, one of the questions was, and this was from the ESPN esports, one of the questions was, well, what about the league tokens? What about the All Access Pass? And one of the things that he brought up, he said, well, if you remember with the All Access Pass, that wasn't out right away. That was out like a few weeks. And he said, you know, we have teams working on stuff like this. So hopefully we'll be getting some sort of content revolving around an All Access Pass or the way to get league tokens. Supposedly drops are a thing that can be enabled on YouTube. So the functionality is there. It's just a matter of getting that functionality implemented in Overwatch League streams. So
that means to me, get too excited, just get overly hyped up for something that will probably have come in at the same time Shanghai.
yeah, pretty much. But yeah, go get that Brig skin. It's $10.
It's cool.
I'm a support main. I love it. So I was just like, take my money.
Right.
Yeah, that's the overthought I wanted to bring up, and it's kind of Overwatch League ish news.
It's good enough. Right?
Yeah. So let's take this out, Brock. Where can we find you on the World Wide Web?
Oh boy, you can find me on Twitter at esportsbrock. Just recently pushed up a article with Fusions and Color Hex. Go check that out. I had an awesome interview with those guys. They're so funny. Would highly recommend checking out that article. You can also find me on the Game House as a Boston Uprising writer, beat writer. And those are pretty much my main two now. Mm-hmm. I don't really stream as much. I try to stream a little bit of the fantasy Overwatch League drafting. Mm-hmm. Until my computer decided that it didn't want me to do that anymore, so it didn't let me do that.
It's like, you will not.
He's like, don't do that. This is too close to gambling. And my computer, obviously, is very anti-gamble, so unlucky. Unlucky. But I'll sling it back over to you, because that's kind of all I got for socials. I mean, obviously, follow the Overnerds on Twitter, at the Overnerds.
Yes.
And join our Discord, which I imagine is the link at the bottom of this description.
Yeah, you'll find the link for the Discord at the bottom of every description of each episode. If you're on Spotify, that's probably unlucky, because I don't know if links work on Spotify. I don't think they do. But everything else, they probably should. You can find me at Meridon Gaming. That is my newer Twitter handle. That's the one that I've been using actively. You could also find me on the Game House. Like I said, last episode, I got picked up as a Philadelphia Fusion beat writer. So that's been an awesome journey so far. Thoroughly love being able to, you know, share opinions, announce things that the Fusion are announcing. It's really cool. I'll be there this weekend, so tweet at me and say hi. Like Brock said, the Overnerds on Twitter. theovernerds@gmail.com if you like to email us. You can find us on all platforms, of course, really, other than iHeartRadio. That's the only one I need to work on, iHeartRadio. I don't even know where they take us, but we're on all platforms. And
I'm pretty sure they're only music.
They do have a podcast section.
Never mind then.
So Horror Movie Night and the Geekscape podcast is on iHeartRadio, and geekscape.net is an awesome website that is another place that houses our podcast. So check them out, geekscape.net. Find your next geek-oriented podcast today. Also, the man, the myth, the legend, Max Brown, for the awesome intro.
Oh, Max Brown.
I don't know, you know, I've probably said this when we're on episode 55, and we've had, what, like 56 episodes, because we had a 16.5 in there, like early on. I can't say enough how much I love our intro from Max Brown, so check him out on SoundCloud. His handle from SoundCloud is in the description of every episode as well. That is going to do it for us today. Thank you for listening. I hope to see you guys at the Battle of Brotherly Love, and if I don't see you there, please enjoy some awesome Overwatch this weekend.
All right, peace out.
See ya.